grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is the gospel lesson, Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 34. Dear friends in Christ, a mother is always a mother. She never stops worrying about her kids, even when they're grown up. Dads, too. Even when the kids are grown up, a dad worries about the vehicle they drive, whether they have adequate health insurance, whether they live in a safe neighborhood. Worry and parenthood seem to go hand in hand. And parents aren't the only ones who worry. Every man, woman, and child in this world has had some anxious moments fretting about money or grades or keeping up with the details of everyday life. We like to think that we're free and laid back, that we can get through life without too many sleepless nights. But the truth is, we're more like Martha than Mary when it comes to worry. Remember that incident recorded in Luke chapter 10? Jesus went to visit his friends Martha and Mary at their home in Bethany. And while he was there, Martha was distracted with many things, with serving food and things like that, while Mary sat at Jesus' feet listening to Jesus teach. And this bothered Martha. She went to the Lord and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Make her help me." And Jesus replied, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and anxious about so many things. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." Like Martha, we're anxious and worried about many things. And it hurts us. It hurts us spiritually, physically, and emotionally. Our English word worry comes from the old Anglo-Saxon word worgen, meaning to strangle. Get the picture? Worry strangles your heart and mind, chokes away your joy, chokes away your peace, your health. It's a burden that weighs us down. And that's why Jesus' words in today's text are so important, so vital to our lives as God's people. Jesus says, "I don't want you to be anxious. Don't worry. Trust your Father." And Jesus' words here aren't trite. They're not a bunch of fluff like that Bobby McFerrin song, "Don't Worry, Be Happy." Remember that song? "Don't worry, be happy." Which I call blind optimism, because he never tells you why you shouldn't worry. Jesus' words, on the other hand, are true and enlightening and encouraging. After reading and understanding our text, the Christian can straighten his shoulders, smile, and say, "Why worry? The Lord loves me with an everlasting love, and he meets my every need. He meets my greatest need." Why worry? We can trust our Heavenly Father because life is so much more than food and clothing. Jesus said in verse 22 of our text, "I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing." Turn on your TV or open a magazine and you'll be bombarded with advertisements for food and clothing. You're told you have to have the freshest food, the best tasting food, and your clothing, it has to be the latest, it has to be the best fitting, and we need food and clothing. Our bodies can't survive without food and clothing. But that's not what life is all about. These things shouldn't dominate our thinking. The meaning of life, according to the Bible, is so much more. You see, We were created by God to be with God, to know and enjoy Him forever, to lovingly serve Him forever. That's what the author of Genesis is talking about when he says that man was made in God's image. It's not that we look like God physically, but we were like God in the garden. We were without sin. We knew God and were perfectly happy in that knowledge. Sadly, Adam and Eve ruined that image of God. They weren't interested in friendship with God. They wanted to be God. They wanted to be large and in charge. So they ate from the tree God commanded them not to eat from. And they put a wall between God and mankind, a wall that only Jesus can tear down. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, Peter talks about the meaning of life and our new identity as people redeemed by Christ. He writes, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Again, it's true, we need food and clothing, but our identity isn't based on the food we eat or the clothes we wear. We're God's people, the people Jesus made us to be. We are royal priests, holy people, citizens of heaven, people who belong to and are treasured by God. People who serve God day and night, proclaiming His praise. This is the real stuff of life. Why worry? God cares about the little things in our lives. In our text, Jesus talks about the ravens, how they neither sow nor reap. They don't put food in storehouses, but God feeds them. They're well taken care of. And in our text, Jesus talks about the flowers. He says they neither toil nor make cloth, and yet they're more beautiful than Solomon in all his glory, all his splendor. This means that God is aware of and concerned about every detail of our lives. We have a lot of birds around our house. We have a lot of barn swallows and starlings and blackbirds and robins and mourning doves. We get an occasional quail. We get a lot of mockingbirds around our house. You know what? God knows every detail about every bird. Nothing is hidden from the Lord. Jesus concludes his thoughts about God taking care of the birds and the flowers by saying, if God feeds the birds, He's going to feed you. You're way more valuable to God than a bird. Don't worry. Why worry? Jesus knows your needs. He knows your needs better than you do. He knows how strong coffee gives you heartburn, how cold weather makes your right hand ache, how crabby you get when you don't have breakfast. He knows your every little need. He cares, and He supplies. Why worry? God loves. He enjoys taking care of us. Need a little drink here. In verses 31 and 32, Jesus tells us to seek God's kingdom and all the physical things we need will be added to us. And then he says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Did you catch that? It's God's pleasure, it's His joy to take care of us, to give us the kingdom. He knows our needs, and it's His joy to meet those needs. More than that, He knows our greatest need, our need for forgiveness of sins and salvation. He doesn't want us lost in darkness. He doesn't want us alienated from Him. And so He willingly and joyfully gave His Son into death. He gave His Son for us. For God so loves you that He gave His only begotten Son. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, the author talks about how Jesus counted it a joy to go to the cross. The verse reads, "Look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." So how could anyone consider it a joy to suffer like that, to make a sacrifice like that? Well, Jesus counted it a joy to go to the cross because He loves you. It's His pleasure to give you the kingdom. Please understand, it wasn't pleasant for Jesus to go to the cross. He didn't relish the idea of suffering and dying. We know that from Jesus' experience in the Garden of Gethsemane. There, He cried out to God in agony as He got closer and closer to the time of His suffering and death. You see, when Jesus was on the cross, He became sin for us. And because of that, He ceased to be God's beloved Son. He ceased to have friendship with God. He ceased to have a right relationship with God. Because He became sin for us, God the Father turned His back on Jesus. Not forever, but for some moments on the cross, Jesus was sin, and God the Father turned His back on Jesus. And Jesus did that for you and me, because He was bearing the punishment that should have been ours. It was His joy and pleasure to make us God's beloved children, to make us God's friends, to restore us to a right relationship with God. So, have no fear, little flock. Have no worry, little flock. It's Jesus' good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Some people say that all worry is sinful, but I like to distinguish between genuine concern and sinful worry. There are times in a Christian's life when he should be concerned about people. If your son or daughter is in the armed forces and is sent to a troubled hotspot, you're going to be concerned. You and I and God's people are going to be concerned, and you and I and God's people are going to pray for that son or daughter. That's why our church has a prayer list. We pray for the people we're concerned about. But sometimes our concern turns into sinful worry, a worry that takes away our joy and peace. It makes us sick as we fret about this and that and the other thing. And in these cases, we are not trusting God. We're not believing that God will take care of us. And it's no good. It hurts you. It hurts your faith. Brothers and sisters, and this is my concluding thought. When we're tempted to worry, to doubt God's love for us, to doubt His care for us, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus and cast your sins and your worries on Him. Go to Jesus and say, "Lord, I don't want these worries. I don't want these burdens. You take them." And He takes them. Know that you're cleansed of all your sin and Jesus stands by you. Remember that you're a baptized child of God. God has been taking care of you from childhood, from infancy until now. Remember the price that Jesus paid to redeem you and know that you're loved. Take the Lord's Supper and know that you are loved. Remember that you are God's flock and Jesus is your shepherd. Jesus gives and gives and gives to you so that your cup overflows. He protects you with his rod and staff. He walks with you even through the valley of the shadow of death. In the words of a great hymn, "Have no fear, little flock. Have no fear, little flock, for the Father has chosen to give you the kingdom. Have no fear, little flock. Have good cheer, little flock. Have good cheer, little flock, for the Father will keep you in his love forever. Have good cheer, little flock." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.